Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
We'll move on. Martin Beans Ward, comedian and now playwright. How are you?
How are you doing, Brendan? You well?
Good, good. So the last time you were here, you said you'd never seen a play. And now, am I correct in saying you've written a play?
Yeah, do you want to know what my first play was, what that I actually got to see?
You went to a play in the interim, did you?
Yeah, of course. I need to know what I get involved with.
Yeah.
So, good friend, Willie White, who's the artistic director of the Dublin Theatre Festival, which my play will be part of, he had started to introduce me to the world of theatre, you know? And he said, I recommend you go see this play. And there I was, sat down, and within the first 2 minutes, there were two actors, stark bollock naked. Now, this is my introduction to the theatre. I just sent Willie a text and said, come here, not fucking doing that in my one. Let's hope, you know? I'm not getting paid enough to get the baps out, basically. There'd be no nude scenes. So that was my first kind of introduction to it.
Why had you never been to a play, do you think? Because you're in the entertainment industry and everything. You're around theatres and theatre people and all that.
To be honest with you, it's a relatively new thing where working class communities are going to theatre. I think in Dublin it's a bit different. You always had panto or different things like that. But like you're from Cork. Would you get many of the lads now from Knocknaheeny going in there to catch a bit of Tom
Again,
Murphy
Cork, there was a strong popular kind of theatre, panto kind of situation, Bill O'Connell and all that. So there was an element of the groundlings, as they were called in Shakespeare's day, or the groundlings did go to the theatre a bit. Yeah.
Which part of Cork are you from, Douglas? Come here, listen, like to be honest with you, Cork might be a bit different because big city as well. And Galway was not like that.
Yeah,
and it wasn't that Galway was any more working class. I think that maybe the infrastructure wasn't there. I mean, panto wasn't a big thing in Galway either. But for me, coming from where I came from, it just wasn't something that we were introduced to. Or it's not. I won't say that we weren't felt welcome there because there was never an opportunity to try to be welcomed.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that, and I know.
So the arts, arts with the capital A, would not have been part of the panoply of life for you, kind of?
No, it wouldn't really. It really wouldn't. And this is nothing to do with Traveller or...
Yeah.
I know you're dying to get that little soundbite, Brendan. You need to understand that in theatre, once you get up on that stage, this is what I've learned, and this is why I mentioned it's nothing to do with the traveller thing, because my play, while it has a character that is a traveller, it's a universal theme. It's about bereavement, it's about death. And since my introduction into the arts, I realised that, first off, it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. It's about what you present on that stage. So for me, it's my opportunity to step outside who I am as a person and all of the little identifying markers that we place on ourselves nowadays. Yeah. I mean, it's cool to have the labels of who we are, where we come from, and that's great. In theatre, I've learned that you can supersede that. You can just go beyond it. You can create something new. You can connect with people who may not have had the opportunity to connect with that theme or that kind of character before.
See, this is interesting because a lot of people, I would imagine, in theatre and in the arts and everything, are doubling down on identity and their identities being central to the kind of work they're doing. You're using this almost to unhighlight your identity a bit, are you, yeah?
Look, I have had remarkable opportunities and I've been presented with them and they've given me a huge amount of privilege. And I'm now taking stock of how much privilege I have. And as a traveller, I know it's one of those things that automatically, because of your label, you must be underprivileged. And I know for a fact that there are working class people out there, non-travellers out there, there's non-Irish out there in the country. There are other people out there in the country who are far less privileged than I am. So we need to stop with this kind of gobshitery of constantly sticking to the label and this is all I am. It's not. And I think when you grow up being labelled, you really cherish the opportunity to go beyond that, to create something new. And I think that's what's beautiful about the arts. It gives that space and freedom to do so.
just be okay, we'll get back to the play in a second. This is interesting. Do you think it was it for you that there's a danger that if you kind of underline identity too much, that you're connected with a grievance, a culture of grievance, maybe the way a lot of identities and subcultures now are? Is that part of it? Yeah,
A little bit. And also, I just don't want to be pigeonholed.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. I mean, let's face reality here. I mean, my first step into the media was because I was brought on your panel show, actually,
yeah,
to talk about traveller issues.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert in traveller issues. We're so diverse. There's, like, I don't know all the travellers. I can't speak for them all.
Yeah, I think we brought you on to talk about yourself, but I guess the intersectionalities of your identity were in there.
Just happened to be the same week that Peter Casey was popular as well. But sure, look, but what I'm trying to say is that was a great platform for me to get noticed. But that's not me. And that was a label that I accepted for myself, and I thought that that's all it was. But then I became more creative, and now it's transformed into something else. And that's the beauty about it. We can either stay with the label that we have placed on ourselves or that has been placed on us, or we can take that with us and use it to be maybe informed in creating something new. And that's what it's about for me.
Okay. And I think it sounds to me like, I think all great Irish plays are about Irish families. That is the universal, and it sounds to me like you've tapped into that vein. Yeah.
Yeah, well, look, at the end of the day, it's a dark comedy, all right? And look, it tells the story of a guy who's been in self-exile. He's a gay traveller, okay? And I know here I am.
Happens to be.
But yeah. I was saying this recently to somebody, like the character Patrick had gone from being, I think there was about three different nationalities I was going with. And then I centered on that and I was like, no, because there's a story to be told within it. And while it's not autobiographical at all about me, it does take a look at some of the things within the community. It also challenges an awful lot of the traditions within the community. There's a lot of strong women in it, and it's also kind of, it talks about sexuality and things like that. So it's a human thing. It's something that we can all connect to. But bereavement is the underpinning thing, and trauma. And Patrick has been in self-exile, and just like any Irish family, whether you get on with them or not, when somebody dies, you have to bear and grin it, and you have to go back to the wake, you have to go back to the funeral, and that's what this is about. He comes back, and he realises that he's been in self-exile, but his community couldn't give two fiddlers whether he was gay or not. It was all in his own head, feeling sorry for himself. And it's one of those things where he's coming back to realise that. And actually, in actual fact, they've got more things going on in their life and he isn't the centre of everybody's universe.
You see, that's a classic story of an Irish family. 100%. Never mind your travellers or anything else.
Exactly,
like,
100%. Yeah. And that's what's meant
everyone
to be.
Going around with it all in their own heads. Yeah. Like, I said to a friend of mine, he was giving out about his family and he told me some story. And I said, it doesn't sound like those people did anything to you. And he kind of went, maybe you have a point, like some incident or something. The whole writing of the play, okay, so you saw one play during the process and everything. But like, was it kind of good for you, do you think, to just sit down and start writing a play without having really been versed in the theatre?
Yeah, I mean, look, I wouldn't be trained like a lot of people within theatre, and they're fantastic writers. But I'm not being egotistical, but I'm a good writer. I'm a good storyteller, and I think I was able to perform well in comedy and tell stories because I was doing it. In theatre, it's a little bit different. So sitting down to write a play, you should have seen the first draft. In actual fact, I'll tell you what, the first time I penned it, it was titled The Minkier Manifesto. I was literally going around thinking I was Martin Luther Beans. Like I was coming out with this big philosophical, political statement, and halfway through I was like, this is shite.
Yeah.
This is shite. You don't want the audience thinking that you're pointing fingers at them or you're giving out to them.
You know? You had to get that off your chest basically.
I tell you, it wasn't long coming off my chest. Once I read it out loud, I was like, that's not even you. We're like, cop onto yourself. So I moved on then to The Dead House. And I think that's something, like the Irish Wake. I don't know, what would you call it, The Dead House? Like, that would be a big thing now.
I would have known it in the country, like older relations as a kid. Yeah.
Where the body would have been laid out in the sitting room type of thing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, in more recent years, then it goes to the funeral home and things like that, which is fine. Most people do that nowadays. But I wanted to kind of, it was a little ode to that, do you know?
It's a one-man show.
Just me, but you know, but I'm as good as five.
Yeah. Is that pressure for you? Because you're used to standing up there kind of riffing and bantering people. There's a fourth wall up now, so performing.
Yeah, so like it is, I'm a little bit more nervous about this than I would be about comedy. With comedy, you've got one job, make them laugh. Make them laugh, you've done your job. They've paid the price for the ticket. They've come in, once they're laughing, you've done your job.
Yeah.
With theatre...
And you know they're laughing as well or not.
Oh, 100%. You know, immediate thing. But with theatre, you have to evoke so many different emotions, and then you have to give them a narrative, a story. It all has to fit in. They have to come away thinking like they've learned something, experienced something, like they've seen your vulnerability, like they've seen your strength. So it's all of those things, really. It'd be quite different, so I'm a little bit more nervous about it, but I have a good director working with me, Maisie Lee, and we're heading in the right direction. I'm not going to dye my arse, put it that way, like I would have in comedy, for example. I think I'm in a better place with this because I'm a lot more prepared. And that's the beauty about working with other professionals within the arts. They bring the best out of the artists themselves. And like the Dublin Theatre Festival, for example, they gave me my first work in progress, which was during lockdown times.
Yeah.
In the Town Hall Theatre. I was just on my own, no audience, in front of a camera, recording for it to be going on the internet. And that didn't give me the opportunity to see what I was like in front of actual breathing people, to get that immediate feedback. Like if you're doing a talk, for example, you're doing a TED talk, Brendan, and you're talking away. If you're talking in front of a mirror, you get no feedback. But as soon as you start talking, something that you may have landed as a serious note may be taken up in a bit of a joke or something. So you tend to kind of formulate what the next sentence is going to be like based on how that kind of reaction was. So that's the beauty about the work in progress. And I was given that opportunity with the Dublin Theatre Festival, and now they've given me 15 nights at this festival this year.
15 nights.
Okay. At the new theatre in Temple Bar.
New theatre.
Are you going to come along with
Dublin? I absolutely will. Because you know what? This is not only exciting for you, it's going to be exciting for everyone there. Like, there is going to be an edge in the air as well. Like, this, the whole context of it is fantastic.
But you know, though, we have audio footage of you from last year saying that you would go, you know.
Well, I'm there, dude. It runs from October 1st. There are previews on the 28th and 29th of September. I'll be coming to the previews to see you learning your craft very quickly over those 2 nights.
And opening night is the 30th.
The 30th, I beg your pardon, okay. And people can go to DublinTheatreFestival.ie for tickets and more information.
Just on the tickets before you get rid of me.
Yeah.
Dublin Theatre Festival are doing a great offer. It's called 10 for 10. And this is talking about working class and getting other people into the theatre. There's 10% of all tickets are being sold at €10 for people under the age of 30, unwaged, and for artists.
Brilliant.
That's access routes.
Look, if tickets for the theatre were 10, 20 quid or whatever for them who can afford it, theatres would be packed all the time. Listen, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And best of luck with it. Martin Beans Ward and the place called The Dead House. We'll take a break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.